Hello, welcome to Heart Yoga Radio. It's Pete and I. We're having another walk down the old railway track in Wolverhampton. And today I was thinking it'd be quite nice to just go back to basics a little bit and just talk about, well, what is yoga? And the reason for this is a conversation I had with someone who came to the house yesterday, and talking about their experiences of going to yoga classes and how often it can just be a quite violent fitness class where people are possibly injuring themselves. And a conversation I had again with someone else recently who'd was asking me about our yoga classes and saying that her experience had been that the classes she had been to recently, there was a really large emphasis on fitness and weight loss. And I just thought to myself, oh, that's really sad. You know, these people are going to classes that are, well, to put it politely, actually not yoga at all, really. And coming away thinking, right, that was yoga, that was crap, I didn't like it, I'll move on, do something else now, and maybe never investigate it again, or never try another class because of that experience. And we say hello to passers-by on our walks generally. It's when you're here and there.
It's very organic.
Yeah, it's very organic. So,
the BBC, we're not.
So, I think that's a real shame if somebody doesn't. Lots of cyclists around today, too. Cyclists, dogs, and joggers.
Yeah, it's Sunday, isn't it?
Yeah. Really sad if people don't then go and experience, well, the real thing. And we're going to express what we feel the real thing is in a minute. But they never get to really have a go. And that person could very likely have gained a tremendous amount, amount from actually really doing some yoga. I mean, it could have been of enormous benefit to that person, but they would never go and try it again because they've been put off by a class which would say all about weight loss or all about jumping about.
Yeah, well, yoga is a broad church.
Yeah,
it definitely is a broad church, but obviously in recent years we've had an advent of a fitness yoga, and I think the fitness industry in the developed world saw an opportunity to make some dosh. Because that whole thing runs on fads, doesn't it, really? And narcissism. And so kind of a fitness yoga thing grew up. But, I mean, having said that, you know, there's the modern Hatha yoga of the last 100 years got more and more into contortionist style yoga postures, which take an enormous amount of physical acumen to even approach.
Yeah.
So it did become a kind of a bit of a fitness regime. And this is the stuff that caught on. And it caught on in the West, because, well, the West, it's a material culture, so the body is going to appeal, you know, and it's a narcissistic culture, so everything was ripe for a kind of an exotic aerobics going under the title yoga to catch hold, which it hasn't done. I mean, just as we get people phoning up or coming to speak to us and saying that they don't want a fitness class, they'll go to the gym for that, or they'll go running or whatever.
Yeah.
But we get the contrary as well, you know. I mean, I had somebody somebody phoned up once. And a woman, she said to me, I want a body like Madonna, can you help me? I said, well, I'll help you to stop worrying about that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Which is my approach.
Yeah.
I'm kind of a bit unwilling to say that only we do the real thing, you know, and most people in yoga do actually say that. They say, oh well, ours is the real yoga, of course. There's even a school called Real Yoga.
Yeah.
You know, so I think getting into those sort of quarrels is a bit stupid.
Yeah.
And the name is up for grabs, people use it, but it does, be aware that it covers a multitude of sins.
Yeah.
and absolute multitude of practices.
Yeah.
And even if we delve back into the history of the thing, the practices that come under that rubric, yoga, are very, 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 very widely dispersed. I mean, I'm a Patanjali man, as you know. But even there are so many texts on Patanjali, it's very interpretable. And it's fed by lots of cultural streams. And it feeds lots of cultural streams. But for me, I think Patanjali is coming down to a couple of things. One is, he gives us pointers as to the practice of yoga. And the practice of yoga is letting be with bright awareness.
Aye.
Whether it's Patanjali's Bhakti Yoga, as outlined in his discussions of Ishvara Pranidhana, or whether it's his more kind of direct, minimal means approach that he takes right at the beginning of the yoga sutra. I call that Patanjali's Zen. It's a kind of a leap into the dark. Yeah. It is just a leap. It's just a one-off leap. And also the eight limbs of yoga. All these can be encapsulated in that little aphorism of my own devising.
Yes.
Dear listeners, the practice of yoga is letting be with bright awareness.
Yeah.
But Patanjali also refers to a being state in yoga, a beatific and desirable being state, which you can catch glimpses of, or which can actually be more enduring as a feature of your life. And that being state is radical openness to what is.
Yeah.
Whatever is.
Yeah.
So it's this sensitive being one with, being into the stream of life itself.
Yeah.
So this is obviously a far cry from great buns, body like Madonna.
Yeah.
Surya Namaskar for weight loss, etc. The modern postural yoga, I suppose, does have its roots in the Hatha Yoga Pradipika, but you need to bear in mind that canonical physical yoga text, Hatha Yoga text, only describes 14 or 15 yoga postures, quite a few of which are simply sitting postures. And Svatmarama, the writer of the Hatha Yoga Pradipika, is very, very clear. He says we do Hatha Yoga for the purposes of Raj Yoga, so we can climb the ladder of Raj Yoga. It's a basis.
And Raj Yoga being?
Patanjali's meditative.
So Raj Yoga being a more meditative style.
It's a meditative yoga.
Yeah.
Patanjali has very little to say about the physical aspects. You know, he talked about asana in about, he's got about half a dozen words for that, and pranayama, a few words for that.
Yeah.
But basically it's a practice manual for a meditative yoga. So
I'd like to just briefly just talk about our approach.
Yeah.
So usually we would begin one of our classes, as we often describe to people when they call us up and say, well, what is it like? What's to expect? Because, you know, I can imagine people will be a bit nervous coming for the first time. So I would like to say to them, oh, it's going to kind of more or less pan out like this.
Yeah.
And reassure them that we're not going to be forcing them to, like, stand on their head in the first 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And so we begin with, say, 20-minute sitting meditation. And we don't mind how you sit, as long as you're balanced and comfortable.
Yeah, yeah.
And some people just choose to lie down if you know their backs aren't very good or their knees are hurting, and that's okay.
Yeah.
It's the quality of the meditation, not the position that you're doing it in. Although okay. obviously the posture that you adopt during the meditation does influence the meditation. But at the same
time, it feels different to sit.
From to lie down.
But nevertheless, as long as there's consciousness, there's the possibility of meditation
and
the yoga being states.
We're not going to be forcing anyone to be sitting in something which is going to be causing them pain. That's for sure.
Well, absolutely, it gets in the way, you know. And
there's
enough pain in life without causing extra.
And telling them that they're not being spiritual unless they sit in the lotus posture. We're definitely not going to be saying that to them.
No.
And then we do about an hour of physical work.
Yeah.
And this is something that a saying you came up with, which is your approach is the time, place, and the people.
Well, it's one of the things that has an impact. Yeah, definitely.
Well, that's how the class unfolds.
Yeah.
Is to do with the time, the place, and the
Absolutely.
People. So it's not a set thing
that they've got to conform to.
No, and it's not been pre-planned. It is a sort of like usually a spontaneous event that is tailor-made to the moment, to what the needs of the moment.
At its best,
yeah.
And I think that's the way to proceed. If we're talking about radical openness to worries, whatever it is, we have to take worries into the equation.
Exactly.
You know, and that's you as a teacher find yourself in the company of a particular group of people, a particular set of autobiographies and physical conditions and ages and all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
And we'll deal with a really wide range of human types, you might say, or human beings. I mean, I don't really believe in types, you know, but we get a wide variety of people in terms of ethnic background, cultural background, different ages, from childhood to old age. People who adhere to different belief systems, etc.
Yeah.
And one tries to taste that, you know. I know it's very much an intuitive thing, but you taste it, you get the flavour.
Yeah.
And the way you teach, inverted commas, arises out of that to a large extent. Naturally, one has one's roots. You have your vocabulary of stuff that you use.
Yeah.
But basically, it's a spontaneous affair within that format of sitting meditation, moving the body, lying down to relax the end, and then sitting again a little tiny bit.
Yeah.
It's just a kind of thing that I use a lot. Don't always do that. Sometimes, if we have people for weekends, I do a thing whereby I really like this. I think this is where it does get kind of interesting. Where we start off either sitting or lying down, and then move according to the impulse.
Yeah.
As it were.
Yeah.
You kind of open yourself to the possibility of movement. You may, of course, not move. You might spend the whole session sitting or lying down.
Yeah.
Or with your legs up the wall or anything.
Yeah.
But you can kind of let things happen.
Yeah.
And you have your yoga vocabulary. Your physical yoga has given you a bit of a vocabulary and an acquaintance with your body. And you allow it to move.
Yeah.
Ecstatically. I mean, I don't see that much of a difference in essence between sitting with awareness, moving with awareness, lying down with awareness, washing dishes with awareness, having a shit with awareness. You know, I kind of don't make these stark differences between some kind of physical practices in yoga, because it seems to me at the end of the day the body is the ultimate vehicle for experience.
Yeah.
And human experience, human conscious experience, is the possibility of the yoga being states, which in turn become the possibility through the expression of individuals for having a decent human culture eventually.
Yeah.
So it's to my mind incredibly far-reaching yoga, you know, it's and to just narrow it down to a fitness regime, even though Hatha yoga postures can the practice of and give people tremendous health and fitness.
Yes, yes.
If you just get stuck in that, then
that's where you stay. You stay stuck in that, really.
You don't enjoy all the other
benefits. It's much bigger than that.
Yeah.
So if you've been to a class which has just been quite narrow, where perhaps it's just been the teacher has maybe come in with a strong idea of how to do things and like forged on regardless of whether you've just like broken your back or not. It's not all like that.
No.
There's other stuff out there, and perhaps what you might want to do in the future when deciding to go to a class, if you can, is maybe talk to the teacher and ask them about their approach.
Oh yeah.
And see how you feel about their approach, and then maybe decide about going to a class according to that.
Yeah, definitely. And the thing to bear in mind is that it is a very broad church. You can expect a very, very wide range of experiences.
Yeah, because if you ask the question, what is yoga, to all the yoga teachers in the world, everybody would say something a bit different, wouldn't they? Unless they've been to a very, very strict teacher training school where they've been taught to parrot the same sentence or the same paragraph.
Some schools give the teachers scripts to learn.
Yeah.
I just find that absurd, you know.
So I hope that's helpful to everybody. If you've, if you've tried a class and it's been something which didn't really give you anything, then, you know, I hope that gives you a little bit of confidence to go and maybe experience a different class or a different approach and, you know, find the wonders that are inside yoga.
Oh, yeah, and there really are. There really are. It's great.
Yeah.
We love you.